Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social. It's another in the dugout on the Anfield Wrap today with me, Mike Kearney, your host. It's the show where I get to sit down and speak to coaches all throughout the game about their experiences and get to how find out how they fell into doing what we all would want to be doing, getting involved in the professional game. Today I'm joined by Amber Whiteley, Liverpool FC Women's Assistant Manager. Amber, thanks for coming on today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Mike. No, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you.
So, obviously everyone knows that, like, as I mentioned there in the intro, you're the Liverpool Women's Assistant Manager. And, you know, at points last season you were the interim in charge. You had quite a start since you've come to Liverpool. But before we get on to all of that and looking forward to this season, just where did it all start for you in terms of your interest in the coaching game? Or, you know, was it out of school or was it from a playing career or...?
I suppose it started with a love for the game. So from being a little girl, I remember being obsessed with football. So watching it on the telly all the time, playing on the playground with all the boys at primary school, and then eventually I started to play for a team. When I moved into secondary school, my mum didn't want me to play. So when I was in primary school and I couldn't get myself like to training sessions and what have you in my local area, I was really just limited to what I could do at school. And then when I had a bit more independence going into secondary school and I could get the bus to places or get a lift with my mates, then I had the opportunity to go and play for a team then. I also joined in an academy programme. It was called the Centre of Excellence at the time. And my playing career just went on from there, really. The coaching started when I was around 16. So I had brilliant PE teachers at school. I had some fantastic role models. And they were the ones that really encouraged me to get involved in coaching. So I started a little voluntary role at the Centre of Excellence that I played at. And it just went on from there, really. First of all, like part-time work alongside studying at college. And then when I graduated from uni, those part-time roles then turned into full-time roles. So, yeah, that's sort of how I got into it.
Obviously, you know, in the women's game where you are at the minute, you know, it's gone through quite a boost in profile, hasn't it, over the past, I don't know, most recent fit history, you know, the World Cup. Obviously, we're recording this now while the Olympics are on, and it's a part of that. So when you were... start back when you were playing when you were 16 and getting into the coaching, have you noticed a big change since, and you know, more take up really in the sport since then, really, as it's got more popular or more available to kids in school and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think the developments have been huge. I think back to when I, like I said before, when I was a little girl, you know, I was watching the lads on the telly, I was playing with all the lads at primary school. I didn't have any visible female role models, whereas now you go home from work or from school, you turn on the telly, you can see GB women playing in the Olympic Games. You can actually see them. I think it's really important that you can see it to know that you can be it, sort of thing. So yeah, I think that's one of the biggest changes now. We've got so many fantastic female role models in the game, players, and we've got some really fantastic coaches too.
And when you took your first... sort of job as a full-time coach, did you ever envision one day that you might be at like one of the Liverpool, you know, one of the biggest clubs in the world, really thinking one, because a lot of professional outfits, like, I mean, look, Manchester United down the road have literally only recently got involved with the women's team again. It's staggering, really, how sometimes, like, there's been such a big difference. Could you ever, as you mentioned it there, like, if you can't see it, you can't be it sort of thing, did you ever think you'd ever come to a club like Liverpool?
No, I couldn't have even have dreamed of it when I was little, because like you said there, the full-time game didn't exist, those jobs didn't exist then. I think I grew up wanting to be a PE teacher. I think if I'd been able to see the opportunities back then maybe I would have dreamed of being a coach and a full-time coach for a club like Liverpool. But yeah, I couldn't even imagine it then. It was only really, I would say, my early 20s when the professional game started in England, when the Super League, and it was Super League 2 at the time, wasn't it, when that sort of was born. That was the first time where I thought, actually, this could be a career for me here. I could actually be a full-time professional coach in the game. So, yeah, that was probably the first time that I ever really dreamt it in my early 20s, and that was, yeah, when I could see it.
Obviously a lot of experience as well at academies, and you know, before becoming what you are now as assistant manager for the first team, and there's probably not much of a difference really, but is there more focus on certain things when you're at the academy level, really? I know it's obviously mainly going to be development, but do you find yourself finding the job role different now to when you started, or you just ultimately you want to get the girls on the pitch and coach? That's literally the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think when my earlier roles in academies, in my first like full time roles as a community coach, what else, head of women's football at Northumbria University, it was, yeah, a large focus was placed on development. And in this environment, obviously, we're still trying to develop individuals within the team, but we're here to win. It's results driven, and I love that part of the job. When I was playing, I was competitive as a coach and competitive. I want us to be successful. I want us to be the best that we can be and ultimately get the result in every game. So, yeah, that's one of the parts that I enjoy most about the role.
And so, when you come out of university, or when you're the head of the academy at like a football club compared to, say, university, how different is that?
Oh, it's massively different. I think just in terms of the support and the infrastructure that you have around you, we have absolutely everything that we need here at Liverpool to be successful on the pitch. I really enjoyed my role at Northumbria. I had a brilliant 7 years there. And I took a lot from that role that I've taken into this role. But yeah, the support that we get here is unbelievable. And it's about utilising, I suppose, all of that support and making the very best of what we've got to try and get those results on a weekend.
Just from the point of view of, you know, as we touched on before, really, about the visibility in terms of coaches, how have you found it as a coach coming through the things that we all see on telly when we're growing up is the men's game, isn't it, really? It's getting better as we go now with the women's game, but, you know, in the men's game, it's still massively, like, really, really rare that there's any sort of coaches involved with, you know, any female coaches. Did that ever feel like to you like a proper barrier to you, or have you always just sort of got your head down and tried to take your chances and see where that would take you?
No, I think I've been really fortunate that I've always felt really supported by the people around me, and in most cases I've been surrounded by men or boys. So when go all the way back to being a little girl in the playground at primary school, well, I was the only girl in a group of boys. And then in my early like coaching days, I was quite often on courses or in teams that I was working with, I was often like the only female member of staff or the only female coach. So it's just something that I've always been used to. And like I said, I've been really fortunate to have been surrounded by really good males who've supported me and, I suppose allowed me to develop and grow as a coach. So I'm really grateful to all the people that I've worked with, both previous and currently, really, because, I feel like I've been really lucky there.
Has there ever been like a decision for you to make where you know you're at Liverpool Women's now, but could you ever have gone looking for any jobs sort of around the men's game, or is it always just being a focus for you to be a part of being in inside the women's game and help grow it?
I think there was maybe a time when I was up in the northeast where I had considered trying to move into the boys' game, the full-time opportunities in the women's game or in the women and girls' game were quite limited up there, and I thought that might have been an opportunity to go into a full-time role in a professional environment to then maybe come back in, but I was fortunate that, you know, my path did end up taking me on a different sort of journey, and I've ended up in the full-time game in the women's game. So it's all worked out. I think everything's mapped out for you, isn't it? So I've ended up in a good position.
And now I say you're at Liverpool, and you know, last season really was a bit of a mixed bag. Lots went on, and you ended up taking the interim manager's job out. What was that like in terms of, you know, you've been heads of academy, you say, in the past and stuff like that, and now you're all of a sudden find yourself as, you know, the figurehead of this football club, as you are the manager of the team, and it's on your shoulders sort of thing. Did you find more pressure or more, I don't know, did you find it like a completely different side of the job that you'd never really thought about before?
Well, I'd had some previous experience working in a first team environment, in a senior environment at Sunderland. So I started out as 21s coach at Sunderland and then moved into the first team, where I was assistant coach when Sunderland won the Super League. So I'd experienced that sort of environment before, but I'd not been in a head coach position there. So that part of the role was brand new. But honestly, Mike, I absolutely loved it. I loved every single day. There were some long days, there were some hard days, but yeah, I loved every single minute. I was really fortunate that I had a really good staff team around me. I really felt supported by the club from minute one, right the way through to the day I handed over to Matt, and I had a fantastic playing group to work with. So yeah, it was challenging, of course, but yeah, I loved every minute, and hopefully one day I'll have the opportunity to be a head coach again. But for the time being, I'm made up to be working with Matt. Looking forward to, you know, having the opportunity to learn from him and work with him. So I'm excited for the new season.
Do you think, in a way, the experience you've had as being, as I said, the figurehead sort of thing, the actual head coach, will help you now going back to? You've had, as you mentioned before, you had the experience with Sunderland, but you literally had half a season as the boss, basically, at Liverpool. Now you're going back to assistants. You know yourself what it was like to have good staff around. You just referenced it. Do you think it sort of, I don't know, give you more tools to be a part of a successful team going forward?
100%. I think it's definitely going to make me a better assistant. There are lots of big and nasty things out there that can get you when you're a manager or a head coach. And I think, you know, I felt that when I was in that role. And now that I've had those experiences, I'm in a better position to be able to support and to protect Matt in his role, and keep him in his seat for as long as he wants the job, basically. So yeah, that's as well as obviously supporting him on the pitch, supporting training, whatever else, yeah, see my job as as being a bit of a protector almost, I suppose. So yeah, it definitely put me in a better position to help him.
Yeah, now obviously with the time of year now where we're in pre-season, where we're all gearing up to go again for the season ahead, what's just a bit of an insight into, you know, a professional setup of a pre-season? You know, we see it all around the place now. Fitness has really become a big part of, you know, football over the years. How do you go about gearing up for a big pre-season in terms of getting everyone ready whilst we've got, you know, a pandemic going on as well? It's a strange time as normal, I suppose, anyway, to you know, build, concentrate on fitness and, you know, the football and things alongside it at the same time, but the main priority being fitness. How is pre-season in a pandemic?
Yeah, I think obviously there are some challenges, definitely, and look, we won't be the only club to be facing those sorts of challenges now. I think everyone across the board is you know, facing the same sorts of challenges day to day, but we're really lucky that we've got everything in place that that allows us to keep on training. And we've had a, you know, really good run the last 4 or 5 weeks. A really good start to pre-season, and we're looking forward to our first game, our first competitive game against Leicester on Sunday.
How much planning goes into a pre-season? Like, you know, everyone stops at the end of the season and thinks, oh, well, we've got a couple of weeks off now, but how long do you really get without having to start really thinking about the next season?
I think that's part and parcel of the job. It's just relentless. You'll finish one part of the season, or you'll finish one game, and then immediately you're looking to the next. So yeah, we finished beginning of May, sorry, and the next thing that happened was Matt was appointed. Matt's come in, and then obviously we had to hit the ground running, start getting to know each other, you know, as a staff team, straight away, and then yeah, start planning for pre-season. So we had a couple of days here and there, but yeah, we worked all the way through, really.
And going, you know, looking forward now to the rest of the season, how, you know, obviously the aim is to get back into the Super League. How well do you think the season's going to be for Liverpool going forward?
I think we're all really positive. We've brought a really good team together. We've got a really great staff team, like I said before, and we feel like we're in a really good position now with Matt heading up the team to have a really, really strong season. So yeah, we're feeling good, and we're looking forward to getting it started.
Do you think one thing is a big notice, really, in terms of the women's game is sometimes the turnover in players at the end of years? To be honest, I obviously follow Liverpool more than most, but from what I've been seeing all around the leagues, and is high turnover, is that a bit of a challenge that you think is more... How do you sort of bed new players in the amounts that you see moving around quickly in pre-season? Is that something that you have to think about a lot?
I think if you've got high turnover, that's something that you've definitely got to think about. That team dynamic is so, so important. And I think that togetherness is something that can, you know, make or break you throughout the season. So, yeah, that's certainly something that, you know, you have to think about when you have that high turnover. We've been really fortunate with the players that have come in. Most of them have worked with Matt before. Some of the players like Yana, Jazz, are already familiar with the environment, so it's been quite an easy transition for them. But honestly, all of the players that have come in over pre-season, they've just fit in straight away. It feels like they've been here for like forever, really. So yeah, great players, really, really lovely people, and if yeah, they've just fit in straight away.
I always think the main thing about when you're building teams, we always hear lots of people talk about how, you know, the character of players and stuff like that. It's not just all on the pitch, is it? It's, you know, there's a lot going on off the pitch that a lot of people don't really see. Do you think, you know, a person's personality would get them further, and, you know, the work ethic, I suppose, more so than talent in some cases?
Yeah, I think if you're missing the work ethic, the attitude, the application, then yeah, I think you're gonna hit a stumbling block sooner rather than later. I think those are perhaps the most important ingredients to success, and that's something that Matt has demanded from day one. So yeah, if you're not bringing those things to the table, it's gonna be a short road with us, so that's a non-negotiable for us here at Liverpool.
All right, then. Thanks very much, Amber. It's had an interesting chat there. Good luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully, you know, we'll come back at the end of the year, hopefully, with having a good season and getting promoted. And, you know, we can hopefully have another chat next season about going to win the league. Thanks very much for Amber Whiteley coming on today. That's been another In the Dugout.
Thanks, Mike. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks for having me. Sports Social Podcast Network.